In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Seems that they've removed our sheet here that tells us of the mass intention for today. We'll blame that on the people of the funeral. Pray for those who died, but they did steal that from us today. So may God reward them for that as well. Today, when we enter into this particular day, do we not find ourselves like those who are in the gospel? In the gospel, what do we see there? It's one of the most beautiful gospels that we have, one of the most touching post-resurrection accounts of our Lord who's there. And it's something that you and I should take time to spend with, not just today, but really it should be read Easter afternoon. That's when it happened. That one, Easter Sunday afternoon, is when it happened. And maybe I say this every year. I don't know. I don't review them. But my dear, dear hermit monk friend and I would read this each Easter when I was in seminary, and I'd spend time with him in his Maronite parish that evening after we finally got away from all the great festivities of hanging out with the people on Easter and feasting and whatnot. We'd go back to the chapel there and pray and just spend time with the Lord in the Blessed Sacrament, and then do this reading and just sit with the Lord after the evening, asking our Lord, evening draws near, stay with us. But how are we like those who are on the way to Emmaus? What was going on for them? You hear Cleopas tell this stranger, who he doesn't know that it's actually the Lord who's there with them, about all the happenings that have gone on. And he says, we had placed all our hope in this one who we thought he would be the one. He thought he was going to be the Christ. He did mighty works indeed, spoke powerfully. And then what happens? Our own leaders betrayed him, sent him away. He's crucified. And now it's the third day since he's already been dead. But he doesn't stop there, does he? He says, and we also know what? We also know that some of our company went out, and the women told us that the tomb was empty, that an angel spoke to him. Then some of our company went out and checked it out, and they found it just like he said it, but they didn't see any of the angels. This is too much for us to believe there, though. And so they go away still sad. How many of us have just experienced this great mystery of Easter? And really entered into it because we tried the best that we could, even as poor as it was, maybe to have a good Lent. And we entered into Easter and we had such great joy. But how quickly have we fallen into sadness and difficulties and the cares of the world and the attacks that other people make against us or whatever's going on. And that's already stolen away such a great part, a greater part even, of that Easter joy that's supposed to be with us. It's not even been the end of the octave yet. How is this supposed to carry us 7 weeks into Easter, into Pentecost, and somehow be an Easter people even beyond this? If you're like that, Cleopas, and who is most probably his wife, the one who's not mentioned there by name, they're your intercessors. And when our Lord smacks him upside the head and says, did you not know that our Lord was supposed to, were you supposed to suffer in this way? That he's supposed to be handed over and this was to fulfill everything that was said about him? Were you not paying attention to everything it was that was spoken about him, alluding to the things he himself spoke about himself that they should have remembered? And what happened with that is that being with him and him reminding them of all these great things gave them just a little glimmer of hope. And so they said, we can't lose this. We can't lose this. Somebody's brought us out of the misery that we had. So stay with us. Are we inviting the Lord to stay with us? Are we letting him speak to us here in this Mass, or is this something that we're doing just because it's habitual for us? We do this every Wednesday, or we come frequently to our Lord. Do we allow what happens here to stay with us? To stay with us, Lord. That's what our Lord is inviting us to do. He seems like he's going in a different direction, but it's on us to invite him. You come into me in Holy Communion, stay with me, Lord, a little longer. Remain with me, Lord, a little longer. Come and journey with me a little longer. Come to me even to my table, to my hearth, to my intimate place at home. Am I inviting him in that way? And then what happens in the breaking of the bread, there it is that they recognize his presence. Our Lord wants us to be able to recognize him in the breaking of the bread here. Not it to be like every other Eucharist we've ever been a part of, every other time we've been at Mass, every other Holy Communion that we have had. To really recognize him in the breaking of the bread. And to recognize that he recognizes us recognizing him. That he's looking at us as we're looking at him. And when we begin to see that, that it's not just a story in the scripture, not just something that we do out of habit or something that we hope in some way is going to fill us up in this moment, but allow us to move beyond that, that our Lord is living and breathing in the Eucharist for us, then everything becomes all the more different. And then it begins to really change our lives. And then we can really be like those in Cleopas and his wife or the disciple who was there with him to not just remain in there. The Lord has touched me in a great way. This is great. I'm going to have a better life because of this. But Cleopas couldn't stand for that. He said, even though it's the middle of the night and even though it's already dark outside, I got to go back and tell everybody else that we saw him too. Those who've had a real, true, genuine encounter with the Lord in the Eucharist really recognized him in the breaking of the bread. Can't just keep it to themselves. And if you and I have had that, and if you and I are having that, then we can't keep it to ourselves. Wherever it is that you find yourself on the spectrum of anything that's covered in these mysteries, which I just broke open for you, hopefully in a much inferior way than our Lord broke them open that first time Easter afternoon. Cleopas and that other disciple, Cleopas and possibly his wife, are your intercessors. Ask them to help you through whatever difficulty you find yourself in, that thing that's already begun to steal away that Easter joy from you. They knew what it was like. Let our Lord unpack himself for you here within the readings that we did, but also in the rest of the Eucharist that we experience. After tasting of him here just a moment and getting a little bit of your hopes built up in this moment and strengthening your faith, ask him to stay with you. Because evening does draw near. Ask him to stay with you, to remain with you, even as you go from this place. And then when you actually recognize him and see how great he can restore that joy to you, which was so easily lost by the cares of the world that were allowed to take him away for a moment in that Easter joy, then realize that you can't just keep it to yourselves. There should be something transformative that happens as we move from this. Because unlike what Cleopas, unlike what his wife saw, and unlike so many of the disciples and so many who had their faith shaken at that time, the story of our Lord didn't end on Good Friday. Evil did not have the last word. Do you know why? It's because Christ is risen. He is risen indeed.
Hallelujah.
We're going to do that again because Fabian didn't say anything the whole time. Christ is risen. Alleluia, alleluia. He is risen indeed. Alleluia, alleluia. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.